This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
From Booth 46 at Petorino's Restaurant, we are celebrating the legendary Goodman Theater in Chicago, celebrating 100 years. I just can't even believe that. Executive Director John Collins. And Artistic Director Susan Booth. You guys aren't typically on stage, so this applause must be... Should I do that again so you can hear the applause
as many times as you want.
You know, Susan, you are reasonably new to Chicago, but yet you're not.
Right.
You've been here before. When you were told about the Goodman Theater job. The Goodman Theater job.
Yeah.
Did I say that better that
time?
I like that.
Yeah, it's duly impressive.
Well, because the Goodman Theater is so incredible. I mean, really, how many theaters have been around 100 years?
Not so many.
And with all the accolades, deservedly so, the Goodman Theater has. What did you think when you were first heard about that opportunity?
Well, I thought Bob Falls was going to die in his chair and then opportunity would never happen.
And Bob Falls, of course, is?
My predecessor.
Yeah.
Formerly my boss, because I used to work at the Goodman Theater. Then I went away and I ran a theater somewhere else, and when I heard that he was leaving and this opportunity was coming back up, I thought that would be a nice full circle moment.
Yeah. And for you, John, being the executive director of this particular theater, 100 years, I mean, that is all on your shoulders, huh?
Well, here's how I mean that. When you put it
because,
that way, Steve.
Because here, you've got to do better than the previous season. Your subscribers expect that, I suppose, at some level. You may expect that of yourself at some level. But at some point, how can you keep doing that? Recreating over and over the best, and then better than the best.
I'll tell you, it all goes back to the art, right? It all starts with the art that we put on that stage. And I think in Susan, we have a leader who is very tuned into what Chicago audiences are looking for. And as long as the response to the work on stage is strong, the rest can be figured out. So I'm a pretty lucky guy as far as executive directors go, because I think I've got one of the most sought-after artistic directors in the country.
Absolutely true, by the way. So I want to talk about the history of the Goodman Theater. The history, I did not know. I had to look this up. Kenneth Sawyer Goodman. Explain, you didn't know him, this was 100 years ago, but it's, to me, really interesting that this goes back to, therefore, 1925.
That's right. Kenneth Sawyer Goodman was a Chicago-based playwright and producer. He had a vision for what an art theater could look like. Now, bear in mind, this was in the early 20s, right? Nonprofit theater was not a thing. Chicago was filled with roadhouses, and what Chicagoans would see was shows that were touring out in the regions from New York. Kenneth Sawyer Goodman had a vision for an art theater that was dedicated to programming plays by Chicagoans for Chicagoans, and just as exciting to that, his vision was for a theater that was subsidized both by ticket sales but also by public philanthropy, and he felt that the philanthropy would ensure that artistic leaders could take risk in their programming, risk on new plays, on new authors, which is a little self-serving because he was looking for somebody to produce his own work. But that was the founding vision for the theater. Kenneth Sawyer Goodman died in the flu epidemic, and his parents, to honor that memory, made a gift to the Art Institute of Chicago to establish what was then the Goodman Theater.
He was a pretty young guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, relatively young. But that vision, you know, the Goodman as it exists now has gone through lots of change, right? There was a school of drama, there was a permanent acting company, there was a children's theater. But that vision for theater made by Chicagoans for Chicagoans, that continues to this day.
And when you think about, okay, I'm approached, or I don't know how it works, Susan, you'll have to tell me if you approach them. So right now, Ashland Avenue is the show with Jenna Fischer, who we know from The Office, but actors who we don't know that I would argue are amazing in this show. I was a little disappointed about one thing when I first heard about it. I thought, oh, this show is going to be about new parking restrictions on Ashland Avenue. That's not at all what it's about, is
and
it?
And man, would have that been a banging piece of theater, right?
I think so. Would have been a very short show. But
short, yeah. Short and deadly dull, but no. Instead, it's about other things.
Tell us what it's about. But also, I want to know, why that show?
So, plays come to us from lots of sources. Playwrights pitch their shows. Agents pitch shows. We develop shows. We commission artists and say, write us something. This one, totally cold, over the transom, and I had a day where I didn't want to do what I was supposed to be doing, which is when I read scripts, and it was sitting on a pile, and I thought, all right, I'll look at this. No cover letter, right? So all I knew was the title. And two things happened. I was about 20 pages in, and I knew that I wanted the Goodman to produce this play.
Why?
Well, you've seen it, so you can tell people that I'm not just bragging mindlessly. The rhythms are fantastic. It's true Chicago. It's people giving each other a hard time.
Yes.
In that Chicago fashion.
Yes.
It's funny. It's about family and legacy and who am I outside of my work identity. It's about all those things. But the city of Chicago is a character. And it's legit a character. It's not like little grace note references. If you're from here, you'll get it. So 20 pages in, I knew I wanted us to produce it. But then this other thing happened, which is I started hearing very specific actor voices.
What do you mean?
Sometimes when you read a play, if you're a director, which is what I do for a living, sometimes when you read a play, you know that it's one that you want to direct because you know, at that moment he slams the door.
Sure.
As she's walking in. You start to hear a particular actor's voice. And I got to tell you, Fran Guinan, who plays the central character, lucky Chicago to have Fran Guinan be a local actor.
Explain who he is, because people may not know his name. And he is nothing short of brilliant in this show.
He's freaking amazing. He's OG Steppenwolf. He's from the company from the way back time machine, and he has been a part of that company for decades and has been seen all over the country in projects with them, projects with other theaters. But man, oh man, this play about this pure Chicagoan who had a giant business selling televisions and then got wiped off the map by Amazon and who isn't ready to let go and believes in the power of the neighborhood mom-and-pop store. This role was written for Fran Guinan.
You know, I'm just thinking of it now. Maybe in his later years, for people who don't know, Art Carney.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and his timing, I think the hardest thing to do, and you tell me if I'm right, as a director, is comedy.
Have you ever sat in an audience when comedy doesn't work?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't it the most painful thing ever?
I imagine for the actors it's 10 times more painful.
Oh, my God, it's horrific. Absolutely horrific. Yeah. And so you have to have people and what's easy to think is, oh, you got to have people who know how to land a joke.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's about character, isn't
it? It's about character and it's about telling the truth.
Yeah. Ah, yes.
Shikay Johnson, who's an actor who's classically trained, who does Shakespeare all over the place, brilliant actor, is solid gold in this show.
Yes.
And his comedy chops, which I didn't know existed, come from the fact that he plays the absolute truth of every moment. And because it's a well-written piece of comedy, he lands every single joke.
And what you just said there for an actor is golden, actually. You just taught an acting class. So, I have a more important question for you.
Excellent.
What are you drinking?
Chianti.
And?
Gin.
Oh, just great.
I'm a Hendrix drinker.
Just gin.
And I've got to describe what I'm drinking here.
For your listeners, John's gin is in a glass, not out of the bottle.
I've got what's called the Sour Spotlight. I mean, we've got to get the bartender here on one of these. I mean, how he comes up with these. So this is with Four Roses Bourbon Simple Syrup, lemon, egg white, and bitters. And it is so good. It's like a pisco sour, but it's not.
And you're
it's
getting just, some food groups.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely right. All right, so I can go through a list here. I'm not going to go through the entire list because we're talking 100 years, but I'm going to name some of the playwrights, and I want both of your impressions here, John and also Susan, even if you weren't involved in those shows, because we're talking 100 years. David Mamet. So I remember coming to the Goodman Theater, sitting in, I don't know, the 8th row, 10th row, whatever it was, and behind me was a famous, I guess I could say, Roy Leonard, WGN legend, right? And David Mamet's words in his show were not gentle. And Roy and his wife were like holding on to their seats, like, what am I hearing, you know? And they even kicked my seat at one point in time. They loved the show. There was no one like David Mamet. You talk about telling the truth?
Yeah.
That's what he did, right?
And you know, talking about working blue, Mamet makes music out of the raw parts of our language. There's nothing, believe it or not, gratuitous about the, oh, let's say the F-bombs that are dropped in a Mamet.
Right.
They are absolutely scored to support the emotional truth of a moment.
What do you think? David Mamet? The Goodman Theater.
I think it goes back to Goodman's role in all of this, right? At the time, David Mamet wasn't the David Mamet that we know now.
That's right.
He was an up-and-coming playwright, and the Goodman invested in that person and gave that person a shot and a chance. I think that's the exciting thing. When you talk about our relationship with playwrights, that talks to mission, right? It's about finding these new voices and investing in them and giving them space to grow.
So David Mamet was a new voice. He was promoting that show, actually, and in a radio show, there were no podcasts at that time, Cup was holding court, and the guests were, how I remember this, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that this is right. The guests were Lucille Ball, it was Otto Preminger, Elizabeth Ashley, actress, and David Mamet. All
Holy
together.
Cow.
You can find it on YouTube. And I'm not even going to try to recreate that conversation. But that's what we're trying to do here, in a sense, right? We're trying to bring people who wouldn't normally, not for you both, because I said, oh, the Goodman Theater, that can be on its own because of everything the Goodman Theater has done. Arthur Miller is another name. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Sure. The relationship and the commitment with Arthur Miller, some of it was about exploring his more modern classic work, but some of it was about premiering new work. His last play, Finishing the Picture, premiered at the Goodman Theater, right? It was about an ongoing relationship with a living writer.
And August Wilson?
So August Wilson took on something so audacious, this notion of the century cycle, right? I am going to write a story of the African-American experience rooted in each century, in each decade of the 20th century. And out of those 10 plays, you have Pulitzer winners, you have Tony winners, you have some of the best stage poetry ever to have been written. And the Goodman was the first theater in the country to produce, we premiered several of them, first theater in the country to have produced all 10 of those plays. And in fact, are now going back and taking a second crack at the cycle in the chronological order. So we started with the aughts to the 1910, the one that he wrote for 1910, 1920, and we're working our way back through. But August Wilson changed contemporary American drama.
It's hard to follow you. You are so darn articulate. You know, that's Susan Booth, by the way.
I'll get further into my wine and that'll change.
Well, in fact, I believe it should be a law in Chicago where if you go to the Goodman Theater, you have to come to Pedrino's first, because it is literally, this restaurant is right adjacent to the Goodman Theater. I cannot tell you how many opening nights I've been to where we come here And then there's a throng, literally, because there's a door. And in January, that's handy. You don't have to go outside.
Right.
You go right into the Goodman Theater. But right now, anyway, or through the month of October, outside is open. There's a heated patio here. So as long as the weather is good, you can also bring your dog to sit outside. And there's a new menu here at Pedrino's restaurant as well. And the drinks, you come after a show maybe and kick one back?
It's been known to happen.
I've heard that.
It's been known to happen during a show.
That's right. Some of us who are off stage, you know, somebody has to hold up the bar.
That's right.
And you managed to do that. Their new menu includes buttery garlic calabrese shrimp. Did I say that right? I think so. Crispy con prosciutto and taleggio and slow-cooked short rib. And those short ribs are amazing, I know from personal experience, with house-made herbed pappardelle. And that is all at Pedrino's, which, as we point out, is adjacent to the Goodman Theater. And you don't have to park in two different places, too. So the great thing about this restaurant is you could walk to so many
right.
of the Broadway and Chicago offerings, which is terrific. For you guys, it's literally...
Just hang a left.
Yeah, exactly. It is... Is it left or right? It is a left. You're totally right. It is literally right here. All right, we're going through some of the playwrights. Studs Terkel. I can't think of anything more Chicago than that.
Yeah, sure.
The Goodman has done Studs Terkel.
We premiered the musical version of Working.
Yeah.
Which was, at the time, now it's part of the American canon. At the time, it was meant for Chicago audiences, right?
Did
Again,
people know
programming for Chicago.
Then, and I'm not asking you because you weren't around then either, but did people know that Studs Terkel, that Working would be considered, that we would be talking decades later about this classic, do you think?
When the book came out, what was so shocking in a wonderful way was the dignity that he was giving to blue-collar workers, right? And not telling
their...
Which
is Chicago.
Which is precisely Chicago, and not talking about these folks. But, I mean, the brilliance of Studs was he could interview, and I'm saying this to an interviewer, he could interview better than anybody, and he got people to talk about themselves in a way that just honored them and gave them dignity. And
no matter who they were.
And when that book came out, we weren't celebrating the high and mighty. We were celebrating air traffic controllers. We were celebrating housewives. We were celebrating people who worked in mines. And that hadn't happened.
You know what would be a good idea? And I'm not a playwright, but this just happened to me the other day. I was, I don't know if you call what I do jogging when I do jog, but nevertheless, I was doing that. And this homeless guy was talking to a woman. Apparently, he had been disrespected by someone, and this woman was talking to him, and he stopped me. He said, look, she's talking to me because I'm a human being. And I then gave him, you know, like a fist bump because I was supposed to be running. I didn't stop. But everyone has a story.
Amen. And I feel so adamantly that this art form that John and I traffic in, that we're here to talk about, has never been more essential, because what we do is we shine light on human stories. Doesn't seem like rocket science, right? But we're living in a moment where if we fear that somebody's view is different than ours, we just keep going. We don't take the time to be curious. We don't take the time to really see them whole.
Yeah.
And our little laboratory down the hall is all about spend a couple hours taking in a story other than your own. Consider the other guy.
I've got to mention two shows more recent. One is Inherit the Wind. Mm. What made you decide to do this? I mean, Inherit the Wind's been around for as long as the wind has been around.
So we knew we were going to be opening a show right in the middle of what was going to be the most complicated presidential election to date in a deeply divisive time. And so well before we produced that play, I started doing a little game, a little interview game, where I would ask people, do you think we still have shared American values in this divisive moment? And sometimes the answer would be no, and that would be the end of the interview. But if the answer was yes, I would say, what do you think they are?
And what were your answers?
The common denominator I heard the most is freedom of thought and speech.
I hope that's still true.
And having heard that, then you start looking at literature that dives into that. Because sometimes you can't talk about the immediate political moment because it's just exhausting. It's like staring directly into the sun, right? But if you can find a piece of work from another time that deals with the thing that we're all spinning around, then you can sit there in witness and in contemplation and have the hard conversation. Inherit the Wind is one of the most brilliant pieces of dramatic literature when it comes to talking about freedom of thought and freedom of speech.
And Harry Lennox, did he not win a Tony?
Well, Harry,
a local.
He did win a local theater award for that, and he and Alex Gemignani...
Oh, he was nominated.
Yes. Alex Gemignani opposite one another in that show was just some fine, fine acting.
Huh. Well, there's a lot of that happens at the Goodman Theater. Tommy. Ah. I've got to mention that one because, I mean, you know what? Can I tell you something? It's a little embarrassing.
Come on.
I still have the stage bill. I don't even know why.
Good for you.
Because the show was so good. Yeah. It was like taking a piece of the show home with me, and I kept it. Why Tommy?
Tommy came to us. It was the 50th anniversary. When we were first going to producer, it was the 50th anniversary of the release of the album.
And we're talking about The Who.
Of The Who's people, album. Right?
Yeah.
And that's how it started, was let's do a major revival celebrating that anniversary.
Did you have any idea? Wasn't that your biggest selling show ever?
Yes.
And it went to Broadway?
Yep.
Everyone walking out of the theater, and I almost do mean everyone, said, we're going to see this in New York soon.
Yep. It was an enormous success here. Played as long as it possibly could here. Broke all sorts of house records here at the Goodman. And then we transferred it to Broadway, where it ran for about a year. And
he
hopefully,
says so nonchalantly.
And hopefully we'll see it on tour, you know. But
I bet you will.
It was a great success. And you know, it. Who gets to work with Pete Townsend all the time?
So, this
how was that, by the way?
Incredibly cool Pete Townsend moment. So opening night of the Goodman's production of Tommy, we have a party upstairs. And there's the cast, and there are all the creative folks. And Ali Borghazi, who played Tommy, who was only a couple years out of school, right? Like, total beginner in his career. I see him, and I see Pete Townsend, like, eye locked on him.
Mm-hmm.
And as I walk over, Pete Townsend is saying to him, I'm going to get this to Broadway. You're going to stay in this role. We're going to make you famous. And he did.
He did.
And he did.
And speaking of Broadway, what we're seeing now is Broadway in a bowl.
Holy
that
moly.
Is the peppermint. Holy moly! It is the peppermint ice cream here,
oh.
Which will change your life. Now, I feel badly. Oh, there's the third. This will guarantee.
Okay.
Guarantee your
right.
money back. This will change your life. And while it's. So here are three words that I came up with. And I want to hear your three.
All right.
To define the Goodman Theater. My three words were fearless, inclusive, and memorable. What would your three be? Or are you going to use those now in an ad campaign, which I hope you do.
Nicely done, and we'll credit you.
Yeah.
I mean it, though. And I've been watching the Goodman since the 19th, long time.
I mean, my version of fearless is ballsy. And I do think the Goodman, and how many 100-year-old institutions can legit own that adjective? But much as when you bring up Mamet, for the Goodman to have given Mamet his first major outing, knowing full well that the Roy Leonards of the world would be apoplectic, was...
But he appreciated what he was doing and gave it a great review.
Right.
He understood. And your public relations person is sitting right there, and she may remember. I mean, I don't want to get, I guess I could say this, his wife was a little, you know, what is going on?
Yeah.
But Roy knew that, I think he said something like this on the air, that you will be, because back then you were shocked by hearing that kind of language in the theater or anywhere. Today you hear it on playgrounds, it's fourth graders, you know. But back then that wasn't the case. But he said something about poetry. I don't remember what his exact words are, but he understood. And so did she, Sheila, his wife. I mean, ultimately they understood that this is change, but change is not necessarily bad and it's truthful. So, your three words.
I think, and this might speak to the same thing, but I think the word present is important, right? That live theater, more than maybe any other art form, can speak to the moment that we're living in, right? And I think, as we talk about the Goodman, running an organization that can, in real time, respond to and program plays that help people process the world around them, I think has always been, for 100 years, our biggest asset.
I don't know if Shakespeare, if he were around, he'd probably say the same sort of thing.
Sure.
Really, right? Because that was the idea back then.
Yeah.
We have always, as an art form, been called upon to be catalytic. We're meant not to be ornamental. We're meant to cause something to happen. Right? So we've got to be fearless if we're going to be catalytic. Right? And there's a notion in hockey that you skate to where the puck's going.
Are you a hockey fan?
You know, how do you not?
Right? I love that. I am too.
So
we've got to go to a Blackhawks game
greats.
Together. So here's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see on the Goodman stage in a future production, because you'll do anything, right?
Yes, we will.
Yep. Ice skaters.
Oh. Blades of Glory, the musical.
Yeah, there we are.
All right.
I interrupted you, I know.
All right.
We're running short on time. So
all right.
Quick answers to these.
Yeah.
John, the best job you've ever had.
My current job.
Why?
Because who gets to play host and steward to an organization when they celebrate their centennial?
That's true, and are always, as we're talking about, creating new pathways and doing things that are, what was the word, ballsy? Is that what you said?
That is my word.
Yeah, that's your word. Best job you've ever had, Susan?
Right here, right now.
Worst job you've ever had, John?
I was a server at the Rainforest Cafe.
Is that why they're out of business now?
A long time ago. I was very good at it.
You were very good at it?
I was.
What made you a good server?
I was good with the kids. That was part of it. I was friendly with the kids.
Cafe,
and I was good at upselling, which made the managers like me.
And bigger tips then for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've always been a people person, Steve.
Susan?
Deeply adjacent to John, the 2 weeks that I lasted as a hostess at the Horn of Plenty all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant.
Where the heck is that?
Canton, Ohio. It was hell on earth for 2 weeks, and I got out.
I understand. I won't even ask any more about that. What makes you the happiest, Sean?
My family. My kids.
Susan?
Sunday morning on the porch with the newspaper and the dog and coffee.
Nice. With the what?
Newspaper, dog,
what did you
coffee.
Say?
Sunday morning on the porch.
With the what? Newspaper, you said. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, I go old school.
You do?
Only on Sundays. Only on Sundays.
Do you actually find it when they deliver it?
It actually shows up on the porch 2 out of 3 Sundays.
You're doing better than most. What's the best thing for you, John, about Chicago?
The obvious answer is summers, right? Summers in Chicago, and born and raised here, and so I look forward to the summer all the time. But I really, beyond that, is the people that you get to meet who stick it out through the winter, right? The getting to sit at this bar and meet people who are coming out of our matinee, who know and love Chicago and are willing to live here in February, that's pretty great.
What's the best compliment that you've heard about? So you're sitting at the bar, they've come out of the matinee. What's the best compliment that you've heard, or the worst thing that you've heard about the theater where I said, okay, I need to do something about this?
We'll stick with the compliment.
I won't pressure you, okay.
I was sitting out here recently, and I listened to a woman. She came in, she sat down, she ordered a drink. She pulled her phone out of her purse, and she called her friend and said, I just came out of the Goodman. You have to buy your tickets right now.
I could say that about Ashland
Avenue.
Can I
bless you, and I shouldn't cut that off, but can I offer a worst?
Of course.
So I worked at the Goodman before I went and lived elsewhere. And the Goodman had a production of Waiting for Godot running.
I remember, maybe.
It was...
That must be where I saw it.
Robbie Lehman, Andre DeShields,
yes.
Directed by Michael Maggio.
I did see that.
Really astonishing production. I was in rehearsal for a show, and on my rehearsal break, it lined up with the intermission for Waiting for Godot. I go into the women's bathroom, and outside of the closed door of a stall is a young woman with her program. And she's saying to the woman in the stall, she was reading the setting page, and she says, "Ma, act two, the same. Can we go?"
I love that. And if you know that show,
oh, yeah.
You'll know why laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Best thing for you about Chicago season?
Denise Schneider, our brilliant director of communications.
And she is.
Introduced.
Has she really been there 35 years?
135,
that's
actually.
What I thought.
Yeah, she's
longer
aged
than
amazingly
been there.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
She introduced me to something called the Mag Mile, Run the Mag Mile. In the first weekend of September, they closed down a big chunk of Michigan Avenue, and you and several thousand other people run from Grant Park up to Superior, back down through the museum campus. It's freaking fantastic. Mm. It will make you love the city so hard.
Do you think some people don't appreciate what we have, who live here, who are here every day for decades and decades?
I take the Metra home in the evening, and my walk takes me over the bridges where the architecture boat tours are going mm-hmm. through. Every single time I see that, I think, count yourself so lucky. You
yeah.
live in a city so beautiful that people come from all over the world to take a look at it.
Well... Or to go to the Goodman Theater.
Or to go to the Goodman Theater.
And hopefully it's more than just tourists, you know. Hopefully it's people, and more than subscribers.
Yeah.
Hopefully people who may become subscribers.
Yep.
Who check it out. 100 years of the Goodman Theater, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
Thank you both for what you do.
Thank
lots
you.
Of entertainment for lots of years for me. Personally, thank you so much. You guys are great. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you, Steve.
And I meant what I said. You are like poetic in the way that you answer the questions.
And I'm only half a glass in.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Pederino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.